It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. We are exactly 4 weeks away from the 2015 NFL Draft in Evan's stomping grounds in Chicago, Illinois. Evidently, word has spread around the NFL about Evan Silva and the fact that he lives in Chicago. Jameis Winston says he's not going. Marcus Mariota says he's not going. I'm not going. Nobody wants to go to Chicago and be within 3 square miles of Evan Silva for some unknown reason. Let's eat, baby. RossTucker.com is always going to be your hub for this podcast, but you can really find it pretty much anywhere. Podcasts are found, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever app you have on your phone. Basically, whatever app there is for podcasts anywhere, just type in Fantasy Feast Eatin' or Feast, and it'll pop up. Remember, this is your show, so hit us up with emails, tweets, topics you want us to continue to hit on in the off season, because fantasy championships are won in the off season. Very much looking forward to diving more into these potential draft picks over the next month or so, although I'm actually more curious at this point as to where these guys actually land. You do need to hit us up, though, with some other topics you'd like us to hit on, because Evan has a one-track mind right now, and it's no longer Twinkies. It's now totally focused on MFL10s. That's all this guy talks about. If you follow him on Twitter like I do, at Evan Silva, and I am at Ross Tucker NFL, Brian, who we established off the air is not important, is at RTF Podcast. All Evan cares about is MFL10s. It's all he talks about. The only guests he wants to get on are his heroes from, you know, Marvel Comics, MFL10 books. I don't know. It's unbelievable. Evan, what is your obsession at this point with MFL10s?
I mean, they're a big part of my life. You know, I've got 3 to 5 going, you know, at all times. And, you know, my heroes are guys like Matt Riddle and Kevin Cole and, you know, Aaron H. So, you know, I'm excited to have Matt Riddle on the show to discuss, you know, some strategies, talk about some players that he likes. Riddle does, he plays a ton of volume. I think he did like, I mean, I'll let him talk about it, but he did a lot of MFL 10s last year. And I'm excited to talk to him.
So, yeah. So before we bring on Matt, I got to ask you, I never remember you saying anything about MFL 10s until like 3 months ago. Like, is this like something that you never used to tweet about? I never even heard of an MFL 10 until before we had Kevin Cole on. And now over the last 2 months or whatever it's been, a month or so, it's all you talk about.
Yeah, I did about 15 of them last year. I didn't really start doing them until close to the season, like in training camp. And so, you know, there was a lot more to tweet about then in terms of player news, et cetera. And, you know, this year I started early. I've done, I think, 23 so far. And, you know, I'm shooting for over 50 by the time camp begins this year. I mean, there's something that have gotten more and more popular, I think, every year. I think Riddle was playing them in 2013. I had never even heard of them back then. 2014, they became bigger. RotoViz, the website, started doing coverage on them. And I think that this year they're more popular than ever.
Well, let's get into it then. We'll have another one of your idols join us. He is today's Big Eater.
Big Eater of the Week.
His name is Matt Riddle. Evan's already been talking about him. I tried to look him up on Twitter. Is it Frittlosity or something, Matt?
Yeah, that's it.
What's the Twitter handle?
FF Riddle, RITTLE.
Got it. But then the nickname or whatever with it's Frittlosity?
Yeah, I had my name on there for my first couple of years of having a Twitter account. And I never, FF was, I thought I might have multiple Twitter handles. And so the FF was my way of like saying, hey, dude, this is your fantasy football one. but I never, it's kind of become a nickname. A lot of my Twitter friends now call me Friddle, and then it kind of slowly spawned into Friddler for a while, and then at some point we stumbled on Friddleosity, and it was so genius. Now it's been my Twitter name ever since.
Got it. I like it. Friddleosity. All right. So other than being the latest object of Evan's affection, who are you? What are you?
Well, I got to tell you, I take a lot of pride in being the object of Evan's affection. So that, I mean, that's almost a full-time job right there. I'm honored to it's a mutual affection, Evan. So I appreciate being on.
Thank God.
I'm several things. I enjoy fantasy football. I'm on year, I don't know, 8 or 9 or something of this. And the last few years, I've really ramped it up. I was lucky enough to stumble onto NFL 10s in their first year. It could have been their fourth year open. It's just when I found it, I just happened to find it a month or two into their existence. And it just clicked for me very early on. I think I had one of the first one or two, not the first, but I had some of the earlier work done on NFL 10s. And so I'm on year 3 of my NFL 10 experiment. And so this is kind of what I do now. I do these draft onlys and I do DFS, and I really don't do a ton of seasonals anymore. So I do the draft onlys, and that gives me my drafting fix. And then during the season, I'll do a league or two, mostly to be social. I do a dynasty league or two to kind of hone my dynasty skills more. And then I mostly just do DFS and don't have to worry about all the waiver stuff every week. So this is my life now, and it's great.
So is this a profession for you?
I try to, starting last fall, I tried to view it as a part-time job. And at least last fall, it was very successful at that. It was a great DFS season. The NFL 10s paid off nicely. So at least the last half of last year, it was kind of my part-time job per se, yeah.
Well, we are a big fan of DFS, specifically DraftKings. I'll be talking about that a little bit later. But I got a couple more questions for you before Evan comes on. I know we talked to Kevin Cole, who was another one of Evan's heroes. But I also played in the NFL for a while, so I got hit in the head a lot. What does MFL of the MFL 10 stand for?
My fantasy league. So I think it's also just the best hosting site for any fantasy football league out there. If you're looking to host a site past just a casual work league environment, I host 100% of my leagues on NFL, myfantasyleague.com. 3 years ago, they started public leagues, but you had to manage them. You would draft them. There were no trades, but then you could do waivers and set lineups throughout the season. And then 2 years ago, they started the draft-only component of it. And they still do the in-season management, but they're not as popular. So myfantasyleague.com is the MFL. And then most people, I play the $10 ones, so that's why we call it MFL 10. But it's a catch-all phrase. So there are MFL 25s and MFL 100s, but we just kind of call it MFL 10s, usually affectionately.
Right. And then just for the listeners that might not remember, and me, what exactly is the format for an MFL 10, including both? I understand it was more like you draft and you set it and forget it. Part of me liked that aspect of it for sure. I thought that was interesting. And then how does it work with the money and everything?
Yeah, so they handle all the money, and it's a trustworthy site that I've been dealing with for years and other people have been dealing with for a decade plus on the just managing your league aspect. And so I have no worries or concerns there. I usually pay through PayPal. They actually just set up a public league access page, which is pretty slick. But you just go to myfantasyleague.com, and one of their hot links is, join a public league, and so you can do all that there. And then you join the league. It's a 20-round league this year. There's no kickers. So it's a 20-round league, and it's a pretty standard lineup. Each week you will, quote-unquote, play a quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, a tight end, and a flex, and a defense, which is a fairly standard format for PPR leagues. And that's it. So you draft 20 players and defenses, and then you are done with the league. You never have to touch it again. Every, Tuesday at midnight, they will optimize your lineup for whoever scored the most at your positions that weekend.
So I would think that maybe the most interesting part of it, and maybe if I'm wrong here, but I would think, some of the late rounds, even like everything after round 10, I think would be especially interesting in terms of strategy and players you take a chance on, you know, given this format?
It's definitely a very interesting part to talk about. Do you take a chance on some of your – well, here's a conversation we have a lot, and this is a conversation Kevin and I have had a lot. Do you settle on a known role, or do you take what we, you know, we call a lottery pick? So, you know, do you take, for instance, a third defense, which is probably going to score you some points throughout the course of the season, or do you take a chance on, say, Greg Jennings in the 18th round, who could score you some points, but there's some downside there. There's some injury risk there. We still don't know what team he's going to be on. And so it's even that conversation is interesting in and of itself. When you're looking at a running back, do you take a high upside pure flyer who might score nothing? Or do you take a low ceiling backup who will probably score you something, but not have a ton of upside? And so these are all kind of interesting conversations, philosophical conversations. And especially at this point in the offseason, I probably enjoy the theory aspect of it more than talking about specific players. Like, I'd rather talk about, you know, higher ceiling, lower ceiling, higher floor type of debates than use specific names, because there's just so much that's going to change still.
How do you do – I mean, I know Evan's been doing some drafts, and you have – how do you do these drafts before they even have the rookie draft in the NFL in 4 weeks?
Yeah. You're at a disadvantage relative to yourself in August, right? I have more information in August than I have today. So you're at a disadvantage in that way, but you're at the same level of disadvantage as everyone else drafting. So when you're drafting this early, you're doing it for a few reasons. You might be doing it if you're going to write a lot about the NFL or prospects or drafting. You might be doing it just to kind of work on your draft skills or keep some awareness of what's going on in the fantasy football world right now. If you're playing a lot, which I am, I'm doing it because I believe I can draft better than everyone else. I can draft better than them in August. I can draft better than them now. And maybe I don't know as much now as I do in August, but neither do the people I'm drafting with. One of the coolest things I think I've ever written, last year I played 20 MFL 10s before the draft. And there's actually a lot of people doing that this year, relatively speaking. Last year, there were not a ton of people that did that. And I was one of the only people on Twitter talking about drafting in February and March. and so that was kind of a unique thing. One of the coolest things I wrote was basically, I played 20 MFL 10s before the draft, and here's what I learned. That's on RotoViz. You can kind of Google some keywords, and that'll pop up. So I think I've learned a lot. Not only do I generally think I'm a more skilled drafter than most people I'm in the room with, or at least skilled enough to have an edge over the competition, I think I learned more than people did last year at this time. I think I have a real advantage this year. So I'm hoping for a solid win rate in these early ones. Interestingly, Evan, I have played 22 to date. And when you said you played 23 so far, while you were saying that, just for sake of ego, I clicked on, so I just joined my 23rd. So we're on level footing now.
All right, well, Riddle, I got 4 in the hopper right now, man. So you got some work to do. One of the things that I like about drafting right now is that the rookie running backs are discounted. And I think that this rookie running back class is going to have a huge impact, not just because it's a good class, but because there are so many teams that need starting RBs. And, you know, you can get Jay Ajayi in the 5th or 6th round, whereas, you know, in August, he might be a 3rd-round pick. You can get T.J. Yeldon in the 8th or 9th round. He may be a 3rd or 4th round pick come August. Tevin Coleman goes particularly late. I've seen him go as late as the 10th and 11th round. I don't even particularly like him as a player, but I think he's going to play early, because he can pass protect and he can hit big plays, and I think he's going to be a high draft pick. So, I was willing to take him there. That's the one thing that I kind of like about drafting right now, is that if you're willing to take some chances on rookie RBs, and I know, Riddle, you have some stock in Amir Abdullah, you know, you can get them at a discount relative to what they're going to cost in August, when we know, you know, what teams they will be on. Matt, can you kind of talk about your general strategy for drafting, and specifically the quarterback position, you know, how you view it?
Yeah, let me just comment on the rookie thing real quick. Last year, the 20 I played before the draft, I made a point to draft one, two, or three rookies in every single league. And that did not work out that well for me. I had a few wins, but overall it was not awesome. So I've actually somewhat stayed away from the rookies this year. I have started, you know, in my last 10 or so to hawk some rookies that I have decided are good values and are likely to go up in ADP. Like Abdullah is one of the guys I bought in on in the 8th, 10th round sometimes and after. And so, yeah, for QBs, QBs are very volatile, right? Even we can say Aaron Rodgers is the stud of the QB market, but he's going to be a fairly pedestrian fantasy quarterback half the weeks of the season. And there's this line that people like to stroll out there of, oh, you have a 5-point advantage every week. Well, you really don't. Some weeks you might have a 15-point advantage, and other weeks he's going to perform exactly how Sam Bradford does or RG3 does. You know, and this is very common and known. The reason why sometimes these stud quarterbacks are valued in seasonal leagues is people don't want the headache of playing matchups. They don't want to have to sit there and figure out if they should be starting Tony Romo or Matt Ryan this week against whatever defense on the home or road. They don't want to deal with that. They don't want to guess wrong. In this optimized setting, quarterbacks mean even less than they do mean in the seasonals because you're never going to get the wrong week. So I almost never pay up for an elite quarterback. If they fall really far, I will. I have some Drew Brees in some of these trades, and people now think that his career is done. So I have some Drew Brees in the 7th and 8th round now. I have some Peyton Manning in the 7th and 8th round as well. So I'm not adverse to the stud quarterbacks, but on average, I'm looking to get two or three very late guys. If I have, for instance, I mentioned Matt Ryan and Tony Romo, I feel great. I feel set. I'm not touching him again. I think in my last few leagues, I have Drew Brees and Jay Cutler a fair amount because they're both fallen and forgotten about. I can get Jay Cutler in the 12th or 13th round right now. So I'll get him. I'll get another quarterback, and I feel great. And I'm probably not going to score that much less than the people taking them in the 4th and 5th round.
You know, if I can jump in here, Evan, because I know you got a bunch more. I'm curious, do you guys feel like if you make the selections before the draft, you're evaluating more the player, and so it's based more on film work you did or what you think of the rookie as a player, whereas a lot of times if you wait until after the actual draft, you're really picking him more on the situation. So if you feel better about your evaluation of players, then maybe you have even more of an advantage doing the drafts before the draft as opposed to waiting until you know what the situation is for these guys, because after that, a lot of people will have a better feel for what kind of value these guys have.
Go ahead, Matt.
I would agree to an extent. The other thing the draft does is it helps people remember names. There might be a running back that they just don't really value right now. And even if he doesn't fall to the right team, just the fact that he's going to be talked about for a few days, maybe in their local media markets about why their team did or didn't pick him. So then people think about him. And when they're looking at the draft, he might bump up a few rounds. My experience with rookies last year, running backs are tough because they had some wild swings. Sometimes their ADP went up 5 rounds. Sometimes their ADP went down 5 rounds. So if you're drafting rookie running backs right now, you're really basically betting that your analysis is better than other people's. You're also betting that they fall into a somewhat favorable situation. I'm also concerned about rookie running backs right now because rookie running backs annually tend to be a value in August. You know, I know come July and August, most rookie running backs will be undervalued. So I haven't been drafting a lot of rookie running backs. I have moved in on Abdullah and one or two others that I just kind of like where they're falling drafts, but largely I've been avoiding them. Rookie receivers is a little bit different because they depend less on the situation. So if there's a rookie receiver you really feel good about, I would feel better about that than a running back because we know that running backs really rely on situation, whereas receivers' talent will rise to the top more often, especially in their rookie year.
I mean, I think that if we're basing it off of, you know, just what happened last year, those running backs were terrible. I mean, Bishop Sankey was the first running back drafted, and, you know, the wideout class was, you know, they're going to be doing 30 for 30s on ESPN on that wideout class in, you know, in 20 years. And I think that not the opposite is true this year, but I just think that there are so many teams that need RBs. And I think that a lot of these guys are workhorse bell cow types like Ajayi, and I think that Yeldon is, and Gurley could be, and I think Tevin Coleman will get a lot of usage. I do like the rookie RBs, and I think that they will be priced very highly in August. What about the tight end position? Is your strategy at that position, because it's kind of similar to quarterback, and this is the case in pretty much, you know, in season long fantasy as well. Is your strategy similar there, where you like to wait for two or three later guys?
Yeah, quick response to Evan. Interestingly, you named the two or three rookie running backs that I actually don't mind taking. I think I was speaking more on average. Just the tight end, the onesie positions where there's just one quarterback, one tight end, they're very replaceable. I think tight ends are slightly less replaceable than quarterbacks, perhaps, but they're very replaceable. Their ADPs are very later, some of the pedestrian ones. So on average, I would say that I don't care too much about tight ends. 2 years ago, tight end was my biggest leak in my game. It was horrible. So last year I did better. This year I've committed to drafting three tight ends in almost every single league. If I happen to get two decent ones, I'll pick up Ladarius Green or just someone very late that has some upside. I will say that the free agency has kind of brutalized that mid-tier receiver. You know, the Torrey Smith, Eric Decker, even you could argue Charles Johnson. It's kind of just brutalized that. So I find myself picking up Greg Olsen and Martellus Bennett a lot just because I'm not sure who to take there all the time in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth round. You know, it may be too early for Ryan Matthews. It may be too early for Torrey Smith since the trade. And so I'll just take Greg Olsen. So I do have a little bit of Greg Olsen and Martellus Bennett. Especially in Chicago, I think he's going to be a little undervalued this year with the departure of Marshall. So I do have some of them, but then largely I'm looking at guys I can get late. Heath Miller in the 15th, you know, it's pretty good. I don't love him, but I have a fair amount of Donnell in that similar type of 13th, 14th range. Last year in the 12th, 13th round, it was Delanie Walker, Antonio Gates for me. So this is I kind of like those cheap late guys a lot at tight end. Even if I pick up a solid producer early, to back them up with some people very late.
What about receivers who a lot of people thought would be breakout candidates, but they sort of got blocked in free agency? Davante Adams and Dante Moncrief come to mind.
I thought they were overdrafted from go. People were drafting Davante Adams as if he had already taken over the number two receiver role and B, taken the next step or two forward in his development. And they were pretty much drafting him at the tip of his ceiling in literally the third and fourth round. Evan, you remember. So I thought he was overdrafted to start. Interestingly, I really like Adams' price now. I drafted him once or twice in people's frustration. They'll be like, screw this guy. And then he falls to like the 10th round. And I've started drafting Adams a little bit. Similarly for Moncrief. If there are people willing to buy them at the tip of their upside, then I'm not going to get them. But in the leagues where he falls a little bit, I'll take either of those two.
Matt, what's the optimal composition of a roster in your mind? Or I guess what's the variance that people will have? Like, what's the widespread variance in terms of guys at each position?
I was chuckling while you asked that, and I appreciate the clarification. You may not be aware of the landmine that you just tossed out there to me. I don't believe there is an optimal roster construction. I know a lot of work has been written about this, but I don't agree with it. And so this has been kind of an ongoing dialogue between myself and a lot of people over the last year. I believe in flexibility and taking the best player available. So, you know, I think a lot of work has been done that shows running backs are valuable and maybe don't need a ton. So I've drafted less running backs, but if someone says you need to draft a blank number, I have an issue with that. on average, I'm the draft 2 to 3 quarterbacks. I'm the draft usually 5 running backs, very occasionally less, sometimes 6, but I don't want really, so 4 to 6 running backs. Personally, I would never have less than 6 receivers, and 7 is a lot, and on rare occasions, I might have 8. So I'm going to have 6 to 8 receivers, usually 7, a good number. I'm going to have probably 3 tight ends, maybe 2, not 4. And I usually take 2 defenses, 3 defenses is popular. That's fine with me. So anyways, it's going to be 2 to 3 quarterbacks, 5-ish running backs, 6 to 7 receivers, probably 3, maybe 2 tight ends, and 2 to 3 defenses.
That's about all I have for you. Evan, do you have anything else for Matt?
No, just a random question about quarterbacks, because sometimes I struggle with this because I like to wait, but there's also this cliff, and you don't want to get caught like falling off the cliff. You know what I'm talking about, Riddle?
Yes, I know.
Yeah. It's like you feel good about a number of quarterbacks, and then like 12th to 15th rounds, it just falls off a cliff, and you don't want to get caught where where you have RG3 and I don't know, Mettenberger and Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, or Jameis Winston or something like that. How would you feel about like Alex Smith and Andy Dalton in the 13th and 14th round, or like Colin Kaepernick in the 12th round and I don't know, RG3 in the 15th round?
Yeah, I think this year that cliff is very noticeable, especially while we're still waiting for some pieces to fall into place. Last year, the cliff was not as extreme. Your worst-case scenario was much better than your current worst-case scenario is. So I'm definitely with you. I like to wait, but I've fallen off that cliff once or twice. I think the NFL 10 we just finished together, I fell off that cliff, if I remember, and I was struggling a little bit for quarterbacks. I'm fine with the scenarios you said, but I would pick up a third. So, you know, maybe your worst case scenario is you get, you miss on everyone. And so then you're stuck taking, you know, whoever that last quote unquote startable quarterback is. If that's Andy Dalton, so you get Dalton and RG3, who just is free right now. I've gotten him in the 20th round of some drafts. You know, he's definitely there in the 17th. So you get Dalton and RG3 and Fitzpatrick. You know, I don't love it. It's probably a weakness, but hopefully you've exchanged that for other strengths. And I would be okay with those scenarios if you just pick up another third too.
Matt, I really enjoyed this. Man, you guys are way, way intense on this stuff, man. Like every time I talk to a guy like you, I feel like an amateur. I gotta step up my game. Maybe I should follow you on Twitter. How do people follow you again?
At FFRITTLE. Okay, Roth, I want to say to you, too, I'm going to make you the same offer I made Evan last year. I'll get you in your first NFL 10 if you let me give you an interview, okay? That's actually what I did to Evan. I'm proud to say I got him in his first, and now he's hooked, and we can do the same to you. So that would be an honor and a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, you know what? I might take you up on that. I might try one of these NFL 10s. Matt, you were excellent. Thanks for the time, man.
No problem. Thank you.
Wow. That guy was impressive. Just the analytical approach he takes. He's the type of guy that I bet absolutely, and he hinted at this, dominates at DraftKings.com, America's favorite daily fantasy site, including baseball, which evidently starts this weekend and Monday. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. Just instant cash, instant gratification, like a new season every time you play. Just pick 2 pitchers, 8 position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to a massive payday. In fact, DraftKings has already crowned over a dozen millionaires. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have cashed in at DraftKings. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use Evan's promo code, our promo code, FEAST, to play for free in the $100,000 fantasy baseball contest on opening day. First place takes home $10,000. Use promo code FEAST for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. And that also will do it for an awesome fantasy feast this week. Boy, I tell you what, I give them crap for it. Evan keeps bringing on dudes I've never heard of, and they keep getting better and better. I mean, last week with this Waldman guy, I'm starting to learn that there's a lot of dudes I've never heard of before that know a lot about football or fantasy football or MFL 10s. Pretty impressive. Next week, we're not going to have a guest. We're just going to have some impressions of me because the guy, I guess, is too much of a wimp to come on the show. I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. We'll see what happens there. We'll also dive into some dynasty guys that people are debating, and we'll get to an email or two next week as well. Really appreciate those of you that support the podcast. We got the Amazon, the PayPal stuff over at RossTucker.com. Of course, DraftKings, and put in the code FEAST. Or even if you just spread the word via social media with retweets, likes, all that stuff, Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Or be a real stud like Fritilosity and download us on multiple devices. I've got a hunch he does. Stick a fork in us. We're done.
Thanks for downloading the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Even Money Podcast as well, all of which are available at RossTucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Because sometimes you need a little fun with your sports.
It's not a sports show. This is a me show.
The Steve Zavid Show from Yahoo Sports Radio.
Sally, how soon before Scott's daughter Instagrams her?
Sports talk with fun and frivolity.
Are you out of your mind?
I mean, I'm not talking about a sports show.
God, I sound terrible, don't I? Oh, excuse me. Hello and welcome. Take three.
Listen to the Steve Zavid Podcast on Podcast One. Just search Zavid. C-Z-A-B-A-N.
I got carried away. I'm very sorry.